Blog Talk Radio.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm your host, Catherine Resendez. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you'll be able to listen every Thursday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Again, you're listening to the Sword and Shield Show. My guests this evening are going to be from Calvary Chapel Christian School in Downey, California, Jeannie Matranga and Shirley Metz. I hope you'll be able to listen in for the rest of the show. It's going to be interesting. We're going to be talking about education. They will be sharing from their experiences over many years as professional teachers, serving in administration as well, comparing the differences in education and some similarities. And we're talking specifically about, or mostly about, choices in education and families. So the discussion will be really about public schools, traditional education in private schools, and also about the benefits of homeschooling. If you have children in school now, I'm sure you've noticed that things have changed drastically since you were a child. The culture that we're living in now, as a matter of fact, we have a great combination of many different cultures. We come from so many different walks of life. We all have our own worldview. There's a big difference between what the general worldview is in secular society as opposed to the Christian worldview. Our core principles, our values, and the idea that some things never change. The world continues to change and evolve, and many traditions change, many ways of living change along with the progression of time. But there are certain things that are never meant to change as far as we are concerned as followers of Christ. And so I think you'll find this discussion, the information that these ladies have to share, extremely interesting and hopefully very helpful to people who are now faced with the issues of choices that they need to make for education for their own children and the grandchildren coming along. So again, we're going to be speaking with Jeannie Matranga and Shirley Metz from Calvary Chapel Christian School in Downey, California. Again, we're going to be talking about biblical worldview, ethics, biblical principles, learning concepts, and of course, teaching styles to go along with that, and another very important issue of great concern nowadays, parental authority, the parents' choice in what their children are going to be taught, whether that's in a traditional public school setting, private school, whether it's a magnet school or whatever. And the other option is homeschooling, which many people do not know that they have the option to select for their own children. I heard a conversation earlier today between a couple of men who were talking about homeschooling. They're helping to homeschool their grandchildren. And it's so important that parents and grandparents are concerned with that and realize that there's a chance that they could lose their right to say, so something about what their children are being taught if they don't stand up and exercise their rights and speak out about it. So this is a wonderful thing that we have these two ladies, these teachers here who want to share from their experiences tonight with whoever is interested in listening. And so now I want to talk about a scripture verse, and we will share more scripture verses later. We will actually read from the Bible, and we'll have prayer as well. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll follow along. But I'd like to talk about a particular scripture that I normally open the show with, and it's from Hebrews 4:16, because it talks about the grace and mercy of God, that we have a place to go when we're in trouble, when we think we have no place to turn. We can always turn to the Lord. So in Hebrews 4:16, we're told basically that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And grace, of course, from God is undeserved favor. There's nothing we can do to earn it or buy it. There's nothing we can ever do to deserve it, because we just don't deserve it as humans. Because contrary to what many people still think nowadays, that all people are inherently good. But the Word of God tells us that we are inherently bad. Our human nature is to be bad, to be rebellious toward God and toward authority. But we can always come to the Lord. He's always there to forgive us. We just need to ask for forgiveness and repent and change our ways. And when we can't do that, of course, it's the Lord who changes us. And some people like to say he changes us from the inside out. So I hope you listen to the rest of the show. Thank you. Hello. Please invite someone else to listen as well. Hello to everyone out there, anyone who's listening. Please tune in and hang in along with us to listen to the discussion that's coming up. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Jeannie?
Yes. Hello. Are you there?
This is Catherine. Can you hear me okay, Jeannie?
We can hear you fine.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for being my guest, and welcome to the Sword and Shield Show.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. Shirley, how are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Rain and
wonderful.
All.
So am I. I love the rain. I love the rain. I've been walking around in it for a few minutes. And I love the rain because it makes everything smell so fresh. And I really love to feel the fresh rain on my face, when it's not too cold, of course. So again, thank you very much for calling in and being guests on the show tonight. And I was just saying that you're going to share from your experiences that you've gained over the years in teaching, your observations, and share facts with us about what you actually know from your one-on-one experiences. But I'd like to know first if you would like to share a little bit of your background, each of you, whatever you would like to share with us regarding your personal story, so to speak. Would one of you like to tell us how you became a teacher? Did you always know you wanted to be a teacher, or did you just find your way there or at some time later in life?
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and start, because I think with the topic that we have tonight, I think my experience probably started first, because I lived in Idaho when it was time for me to go to kindergarten, 5 years old. That wasn't necessarily normal. Everyone didn't go to kindergarten. And it was more for kids who had a little more trouble with, you know, socialization. So kids that needed to learn how to be around other kids and stuff. And I guess I must have been a little more confident than my little brother, that because he did go to kindergarten when it came his turn. But I remember that in the kindergarten age, at 5 years old, it was my dad who taught me how to read. So he was actually, yeah, my dad was. He taught me how to read when I was five. And by the time even before I was six, because he taught me spelling patterns. So basically, he taught me phonics and spelling patterns. And by the time I was 6 years old, I actually was reading, you know, high school books. Now, granted, I didn't know what all those words meant, but I could sound out the words and figure out how to say them. And I'd remember in my memory bank, I heard this word before, so I was able to figure out that sound sounded kind of like this word. And it was all because of my dad spending time with me. Now, my dad was not a professional teacher by any means, but he was just interested in teaching me. He loved learning, and he wanted me to love learning. And so he read to us a lot. He gave us adventures. He made lots of things very special. He just wanted to make memories with us, basically. But through all of that, there was always this love of learning. He was always teaching us something. And I remembered that my whole life, and I started doing the same thing with my kids, basically, except that when my son, well, before I get to my son, let me tell you my first great experience. So my dad was my teacher in kindergarten and taught me how to read. I loved learning. I was so excited that I could read. And I went into my first grade class, and the first grade teacher wrote, you know, three or four words up on the board, like we can, things like that. And one other little girl in the class and myself raised our hands because we were so excited because we could read those words. And my first grade teacher looked at both of us and said, "Now you put your hands down. You can't read these words. You don't know what they are." That was my first experience in school. And I thought, I was so angry and indignant because I did too know what those words were, which she proved to me later when she read them, and I knew what they were. So that was my first experience, and I didn't think it was, very nice of her at all. Another experience I had in school was very embarrassing because they used to use dittos in those days, so those light purple marks, and there were lines all over, and they instead of telling you, look at, here's a cute little bear to cut out, and showing you all the shape of the bear and everything, that would have been easy to follow the lines and cut it out. Instead, they said, cut on the lines, cut on the lines. So I cut on the lines, and I cut my bear's leg off.
I remember
that. And the
that.
Problem was that when the teacher was going around showing all the bears, she said, oh, look at this poor little bear. Its leg got cut off, and everybody laughed. Now, she didn't say it was my bear, but I was still super embarrassed. So I didn't like that start in school, though I loved school. I loved learning. My dad had taught me that so well. So that by the time my son was ready to go to kindergarten, I personally felt that he wasn't, I just felt like he wasn't mature enough to be gone from me all day because I thought kindergarten was, they had to go to school all day. That was way back in, I don't know, 80 or something like that. So at the time, I thought, I'll just teach him kindergarten because I knew I could. And when I tried to do that, when I tried to go down that road, there wasn't a lot of homeschoolers around. I didn't know much about it. I just knew I could do it because my dad did it. But everyone else thought I was crazy, and I had no support. So I didn't do it, and I sent him to kindergarten. And thankfully, he had a great Christian teacher. She was awesome. And so his first year wasn't too bad. But I look back at it, and when I had the opportunity to, I worked in the public school for 5 years teaching English as a second language many years ago. And at that time, the founders of our homeschool program here at Calvary Chapel Christian School basically prayed me into the job. They said, you're supposed to come over here. I said, I like my job. I'm doing well. But they said, no, you're supposed to be here. And as I prayed about it, the Lord showed me that also. And so I came over here, and I've been directing the program here for 30 years. But my thing was, I knew I could homeschool my son. And looking back at it, I went, I could have taught him kindergarten. I certainly could have. And it would have been, you know, a better year for him and all of that. And I just had this burden that I wanted, you know, if people wanted to homeschool their kids, I wanted to help them because I just felt that they should be able to do that. So that was kind of what my heart was in going into, as far as teaching, I loved working with kids. I loved teaching the kids. When I was in the public school, I worked with kids that were coming here from other countries. So it was great fun. It was like having the mission field on my doorstep. So it was awesome. I was to share the Lord, but the Lord had them ask me questions out of the blue, really crazy questions that I had to answer. And so it was a great run for 5 years, but the Lord then brought me here. And then that's where I met Shirley, because Shirley and I came on right about the same time to work here in the homeschool program. So I'm going to let Shirley talk about her experience now.
Well, I just wanted to share some of the benefits of my own personal homeschooling experience. The main reason that we started to homeschool was because it was affordable. We had moved down here from Antelope Valley. We had a business up in Antelope Valley, and it closed down, and we moved down to this area. And we had to move several times. And so we were finally able to move into buy a home, but it was in a gang-influenced neighborhood. And so you can imagine, I was a concerned parent. So I was looking for an alternative to the public school. So we were attending Calvary Chapel Downey here, and we knew that they had a school, and we looked into it, but we could not afford it. So a friend of mine told me that Calvary Chapel Downey had a homeschool program. So I paid for the first year of homeschooling. I paid for the tuition by cleaning vacated apartments. But I knew I could not continue with the job because I had to watch my children and work too. So I did that for the first year, and that was the year before Jeannie came on staff. And at a home visit that I had, the director of our program at the time, Pam O'Malley, in fact, she and her husband started this program, they came to my house for a home visit, and I explained my situation and that I would not be able to continue the next year of homeschooling. So she just notified me after the home visit, and a short time after that, she said, there is an opening in the homeschool department. Would you consider the job? And I said, yes, and I took it. And that was 30 years ago. So not only was homeschooling affordable, but it also helped my children to develop great friendships. My youngest son was able to play sports with the main campus, and he loved baseball, and that was a tremendous opportunity for him. And my daughter was encouraged. She made some friends on main campus and through sports and choir. Because of those Christ-like influences, she had a desire to seek out colleges at the college night at Calvary Chapel Christian School. And then she went away to a Christian college in San Diego. And after she graduated from high school, through our homeschool program. So that was a definite friendship development that was just outstanding. So in addition to it being affordable for us and friendship development, it also provided flexible schedules. My oldest son did not make friends here on the main campus at Calvary Chapel Christian School. However, he took classes at Fullerton City College and discovered that he enjoyed taking the college classes, which were possible because of our flexible schedule. Now, my youngest son decided to pursue a trade. He did not want to go to college, so he took ROP classes, and that would not have been possible if he'd been taking classes on a main campus. And because of
Please continue.
Okay. Because of the ROP training, my youngest son was referred to the Pile Drivers Apprentice Program by a homeschool dad in our own program. And my son began the 2-year program right after he graduated from our homeschool program. and he was one of the youngest men to complete the two-year apprentice program for the pile drivers. Now, the pile drivers united with the Carpenters Union, and he served almost 20 years in the Carpenters Union. So, not only was homeschool affordable, developed great friendships, flexible schedules, but also here are the results of my children. My oldest son graduated from Cal State Fullerton and now works at buying, selling, and appraising privately owned stamp collections, and he is a world traveler. My youngest son is in business for himself as a handyman, which gives him the freedom to encourage and nurture his own two sons. Now, my daughter, after obtaining a bachelor's degree, she went on to get her master's degree in educational psychology. So now she's married and has a young family and works part-time as an educational psychologist in East County, San Diego. So that's our homeschool experience in a nutshell.
Well, that's a great story from both of you. And so they've carried on what they learned from you. You're a great influence in both cases. So your children didn't miss anything by not going to traditional public schools. Not only that, they gained so much more that they would not have had if they had gone outside the home to school. Instead of being parent, being not only supervised by their own parents, but being educated by their parents as well. That's a fantastic story. And more people need to know that they have that option. I believe a lot of people today don't know that they actually have the option for homeschooling.
That's correct. I think that is true. There's a lot of stuff going on now in the public system of having charter schools because they've recognized, you know, they see homeschooling is coming more and more to the forefront. It's not as quiet as it used to be. And so they basically, because their enrollment's down, I mean, everybody's enrollment's down, the Christian schools, the public schools, everybody, because the baby boomers did not contribute enough students to society. So now, you know, everybody's scrambling for kids, right? Everybody wants students in their schools. And so one of the ways the public school is dealing with this is through charter schools, which basically ends up being something where people can homeschool their kids through the public school system. Now, the main problem with that on all of these, no matter what they tell you, they'll tell you, oh, it's okay, you can use anything you want. But basically, they're telling you, you have to use secular curriculum, not, they call it religious curriculum. And, you know, it reminds me of the Psalm in Psalm 11:3, where it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the foundation that they build in the public system is not the foundation based upon Christ and upon the creation worldview. And so when you're homeschooling, apart from the public sector, through a Christian school or through a private homeschool situation, you build the foundation that your children see life through, because the Christian worldview is essential, you know, to Christians. It's like if we don't see the world through the Christian worldview, then we're seeing it through the secular worldview. And then it's, you know, it's hard for anybody to believe God means what he says in his word. I've actually talked to Christians before where, you know, I open the word and I try to talk to them to address their situation with what God's word has to say, how to encourage them in it. And they look at me and say, the answers to my problems aren't in there. You know, and it's like, but we know that that's not so. We know that the answers to our problems are in there. I mean, if God could create the universe and keep everything, you know, moving without crashing into one another, then he certainly could write a book and know what to put in it to give us a guide for life. And so it's essential for Christian families to have that foundation. It's essential. And you go through a public charter school, and that's one of the things that they're trying to take away from you is that foundation. And if that's taken, then what will the righteous do?
That's one of my concerns. My children are grown. but I do have grandchildren, and I'm very much concerned about what they are learning in the public schools. And I think parents need to stand up and speak out for their right, hold on to their right. They need to know that they have a right regarding what their children are being taught. I've heard, and I can't quote any specific example, I do remember hearing something about a parent being arrested for interfering in a class where he didn't want his child to be taught what was actually being taught in school. And I need to look that up and get some specific information about that. And I will introduce that on the show in the future. I have several other teachers now who want to be on the show as a guest and talk about what they think about the whole situation. I met another teacher actually at my church last night, someone I know but didn't realize she's been a teacher for over 20 years. And so many people want to speak out about this. They have concerns. And a big issue here is parental authority. I'm concerned about that for my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Would you like to address that issue, parental authority in the schools? Because I want people to stand up and talk out about this, speak out about it. I'm very upset about some things that my young grandchildren are being taught. And it has come up in conversations between us. And so I was stunned at something my young grandson said to me. And then his older sister, who's all of 12 now, and this began happening when she was 10, correcting grandma. I was just stunned, and it took me a few minutes. I just stood there and listened to collect myself so that I can think about how to respond to what they were saying, which is something that is totally against my Christian beliefs, but something they picked up from school, public school. How would you like to address that?
Well, I basically would like to refer to one of our main campus. We call them Esslers, but they are goals for our students. And one of them is to be a lifelong learner. And that's why homeschooling is so crucial, because you are teaching them facts and attitudes and biblical basis for that are going to last them for the rest of their lives. And the scripture that goes along with that is Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So I'm wondering if that goes along with what you were asking for.
Yes, exactly. It does. and so many other scriptures, because the Lord tells us over and over again, doesn't he, that he's going to hold us accountable. We're to teach our children to know him. He's going to hold us accountable for that if we don't. And gosh, there are so many. But in Deuteronomy and Joshua, I can think of one particular scripture in Deuteronomy 31:13 that talks about children. And let's see here, and it says, I'm going to read it, and it says, concerning the children, let me go back one verse before. This is Deuteronomy 31:12, and it says, gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord. And of course, we know that many times it just doesn't mean fear as if we're shaking in our boots, but to reverence the Lord. And so it says, I'll start over. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children, not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. So many times, and it's common sense, isn't it, that we want to teach our children to follow what we believe is right and good. And if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we need to teach them to obey his laws and principles. There are principles that we need to live by, no matter what society says, if they're changing the standards to to something that is wrong. We need to teach them to do what God says is right, even if it's something that they hear in school, if they're being taught something that's contrary to the Word of God, we need to correct them. So we need to teach them at home so that when they get to school, they'll know if they're hearing something that's wrong, because they're so young. Many times they're influenced in such a way that they're totally confused and don't know what to believe. So they can come home and say, "No, Mom, my teacher said," which was the case with my grandson.
Right, exactly. And kind of one of the foundational scripture in our homeschool program goes back to Deuteronomy 6. And in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, it says, "These words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign on your hand." And it goes on from there, but it's talking about, you know, teaching these to your children all along the way. So it's like if they're off somewhere else at school all day, you're not the one that's influencing them then. And one of the things, you know, that was brought up was the peer pressure and what the peers say and all of that. And we had this one young lady in our homeschool program, and at the age of 15, and she was still being homeschooled, and she had a few brothers and sisters that were being homeschooled. And she'd come here on campus here at the school, because we're connected to Calvary Chapel Christian School in Downey. So she would come here on campus and take a couple of classes, but mostly she was homeschooled. And one of her friends said, "Well, you know, when you're being homeschooled, you know, you don't get to talk to your friends about your problems and things like that. So, you know, are you really like that? You can't even talk to your friends about your problems." And I love her answer. Her answer was, she said, "Now, why would I want to talk to someone who doesn't know? Why would I want to get advice from someone who doesn't know any more than I know?" And I thought that was one of the wisest things I've ever heard come out of a teenager. And the thing is that's not normally how teenagers would respond. The teenagers gravitate towards, "I got to talk to my friends about my problems. I got to get their advice, right? I want to know what they have to say about it." Yet this young lady, because she was brought up in that environment, learned wisdom. And the wisdom is that, you know, I'm 15, you're 15, you don't know about life any more than I do. Why would I want your advice? And so
exactly.
It was just classic.
I love it.
But the thing is that in Proverbs 13:20 and Proverbs 22:15, there are a couple scriptures there that are just golden, because it talks about how foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, okay? So foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And so what do? We send kids to school. We send them to school to hang out with a bunch of fools, because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It's comical. And so he who hangs around with fools is going to become a fool. You know, it's going to become a grief to his parents, something on that in that realm. But it's like these scriptures in Proverbs just cracked me up, because I thought that's basically what we do. If we send our kids off to hang out with a bunch of kids, they're hanging out with a bunch of foolish people who will do foolish things. Kids do foolish things all the time, right? Because that's part of growing up and that's part of learning. But the thing is that that's what we're talking about doing. When they talk about, you got to send them to school so they can be around other kids, it's like, well, you can have them be around other kids in other ways, in other situations. Sunday school is one of them, for example. But, you know, you can have kids come over to the house and you can have some play times. But it's like, you don't have to send them to school every day for 6 hours a day to hang around with a bunch of foolish people. So, I don't know. It's just, I think it's kind of comical.
It is.
Another thing is, one of the things that we strive is for, we want independent thinkers, and we want in Acts 17:11, "And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Well, what a better way to consider whether you're an independent thinker than talking it with your parents, talking it over, and making these wise decisions. And so that's what we're about.
It is. And also just the fact that, you know, the main thing is Jesus, right? I mean, the main thing in all of our lives needs to be Jesus. And we have to bring our kids up that way. Oftentimes, another thing that I see happening that homeschool can address is that a lot of times we take our kids to church, you know, we send them to Christian school maybe even, but we send them to school somewhere, and then we send them to church, and but by the time they're junior high age, they haven't really been doing anything, but maybe they've been in church for what, 11 years, 10 years? They've been a Christian maybe that long by the time they get to junior high, maybe 9 years. But what happens to a Christian when they sit around for 9 years taking in the word and becoming stagnant because they're not in ministry, they're not doing something? In homeschool, you can address that because your family can minister together. It's awesome. We've had so many families through here that they do stuff, you know, around the neighborhood, you know, to reach out to people around the neighborhood, and they include their kids in it. A lot of times, I know this was true even of my own family because, as I said, I did not homeschool my kids all the way, though I did a little bit. But what I noticed is that we were all, you know, going to church separately together, and, you know, we were in ministry, but did our kids minister with us? And one of the things that I realized as I watched these homeschool families that we were working with is that they ministered as a family, and creates a great bond. And when you create spiritual bonds with people, those are more lasting bonds and deeper bonds and healthy. They're so healthy because they're founded in Christ, and you're working on things together. When you work on stuff together, you bond, right? And
yes,
so they
true.
May be, you know, bonding with kids at school over projects they're doing there. And those are the things we have to think about when we're sending our kids to various places. So that's
exactly.
One of my favorite advantages of homeschooling is the fact that the family gets to minister together. We don't have to minister separately and go to church separately. We can come together and we can work for Christ together and reach out to people. Another one of my favorite things about homeschooling is the fact that Ephesians 2:10 says that we're God's workmanship. And that means it comes from the Greek word, I may not be saying it right, but it's poema, which is it's where we get our word poem or poetry from. And it's just this whole concept of God has created this. You know, when someone creates a masterpiece, whether it be a painting or a poem or a song or anything like that, it's like they put something of themselves into it, and it becomes, you know, an extension of themselves in a sense. So it's like, you know, God created us in his image. And it's like we're his poetry in motion. And if we look at our kids as that, you know, and our grandkids as that, or his poetry in motion, and they're individual, they reflect him in various ways, but we don't all reflect him in the same way as someone else. He's created us for his pleasure. And so we're like poetry in motion to him. And I like the kids to understand that, you know, you don't have to be like everybody else. You need to be the unique you that God's created you to be, because he did that for his pleasure. You know, it's like in that one movie about Chariots of Fire where he said, you know, yeah, I'm supposed to spread the gospel, but God also made me fast. And I think he said it, he misquoted a little, but I sense his pleasure when I run, because God created him fast. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and those are the things that you get to explore with your kids when you're homeschooling them, is you get to help capitalize on, you know, what are their talents, what are their gifts, and what are their struggles, because in their struggles is where God can show himself strong on their behalf. And you're there to guide them through those things. I think those things are essential.
They are. And who better to observe if we spend time devoting the time, you know, bonding with them and watching, who better to observe what their natural gifts and talents are, their skills that we should help them develop.
Mm-hmm.
When we're raising them in the way that they should go, well, that has to be a part of it. Whether they're going to be an artist, a musician, an athlete, or whatever, an engineer, you know, we can see certain things that will lead us to believe that they might be leaning in that direction. And we can tell if somebody is graceful in dancing, or somebody has a beautiful voice or not. They may, I love to sing. But as they say, you know, if I had to if my life depended on it, you know, I'd be in big trouble if I had to sing to save my life. I've seen so many people. I had so many friends who wanted to do certain things and were dead set on that, but they had no talent in doing that. And I believe they wasted a lot of time and money pursuing something that was not meant to be. And I didn't know at the time either that I should ask the Lord, what is your will for me? What should I do? That's another thing that I think a lot of kids don't talk a lot about in public schools. I'm not saying that that's true across the board, but they're more likely to be encouraged in that in a Christian school. Ask the Lord, what is his will for you? And so I'm talking to my grandchildren about that now, whereas unfortunately I did not think to ask my children or to tell them when they were young. We should ask God about that. What does he want? It was all about what I wanted, you know? And so, but I know better now. I wanted what I wanted and I never got it because I was going the wrong way. It wasn't what the Lord wanted for me. And I'd just like to interject something here. I was in a conversation with an associate about a week ago, and he was sharing with me some of the experiences of his life in the past, many years ago when his children were little. And he asked his children to wait. He said, I put them here. I said, wait here. I'm going to go and get rich so we can have all of these wonderful things. And then I'll be back. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. And in the meantime, his children grew up. And he didn't have that precious time with them. And all along, the problem was he was asking God for something that God didn't want for him. He was asking for a snake, and God gave him the better thing, but he didn't realize that at the time. But now, so he earned a great deal of money, but lost it all. He never got rich. He never achieved the thing he wanted to, which was contrary to what God wanted for him. So he earned a lot of money. The children grew up. And I said, but now you have a new start. Even though the children are grown, now you can have time with them and you can be here for the grandchildren. So, but he realized that he was asking for the wrong thing. He was asking for the snake without realizing it. But he realizes now God did give him the better thing. And now he does have time with those children. So when the grandchildren come along, he is much wiser for the experiences he's had. And so I'm rethinking my past life as well. And I want to be there for my grandchildren. And so now it's about time for me to share the gospel here. We're talking about the gospel message throughout the show. But I'd like to ask if you, if either one or both of you would like to share something funny, because kids say the darndest things and they ask, you know, a million questions. And sometimes we're just floored, we're speechless. I'd like to know if you'd like to share, each of you would like to share something funny, something good and funny that came out of the mouth of a babe, either yours or someone else's.
It came to my mind right away.
What?
Okay, when my grandson Chris this was a couple of years, he was about 4 or 5, no, it was just a couple of years ago, so he was 6, and at the time, I was having a lot of trouble with my hip. I was in a lot of pain, and I would take them home from school, but then I'd get home from school, and there's 3 of them, so it's kind of like they would tag team me, all 3 boys tag team me while I would watch them until their mom got off work, and so one would want something, and I'd get up and do it, and then another one would want something after I sat down, and another one would want something after, and it was so painful. And I just said, you guys, you can't do this. I need everybody to tell me what you want all at once. I said, my hip is killing me. This really hurts badly. You don't know how much pain I'm in. And he just came up with such an earnest look in his face, and he looked in my face 2 inches from me, and he said, can't you just get Medicare or something?
Oh my goodness. Can't you just get Medicare?
Yeah.
Oh, that is funny.
So I immediately laughed, and then that was his famous joke. I think I heard that joke very often for the next several months.
Oh. Oh gosh, well, I'm sorry you suffered so much. Are you still having that severe pain?
No, I had hip surgery 2 years ago, and I'm great.
Oh, wonderful. As they say, God is good.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Shirley, is there anything you would like to say regarding that? A funny story for your children or grandchildren or children who've been in your class, maybe your third grade science class or something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot think of anything.
That's okay. I'm sure you had a lot of experiences, and sometimes just it's like when we're searching for something. So many times I look right over something, and I did that earlier today, and then realized later I passed my hand right over it and didn't feel it because I was rushing too much. And as a matter of fact, when I spoke to you earlier, Jeannie, when you prayed for me, I was really rushing, and I do that so often, and then many times when I want to share something or people ask me to share something, I have too many things on my mind. As I like to say, my mind is too cluttered. And I'll skip right over things, and then I'll come back later and say, oh, goodness, why didn't I say this? But I just pass over it. And then when we're not prepared, when people ask us questions that we're not prepared for, of course, and sometimes it's awkward. So I apologize for that, Shirley. I'd like to share something just very quickly about my little grandson. This particular one, again, is Xavier. And Xavier and Emmeline live in Arizona. So I went to visit, and it rarely rains there. When it does, I used to run out into the yard and dance around the yard with my son's dog, Roscoe. But so anyway, I was visiting, and my son said it was supposed to rain. I couldn't believe it. It didn't look like it. But later, the kids and I were going for a walk, and I felt sprinkles. So I said, oh, it's going to rain. And they said, no, Grandma, it isn't. But we ran back to the garage and got umbrellas. And so I was telling them, oh, I love the rain. I hope the Lord will send us some. And so I said, well, let's pray. Emmeline, why don't we pray and ask Jesus to send us some rain? So she said a little prayer. I don't remember exactly what she said. It was very sweet and soft-spoken. And then so I asked Xavier, wouldn't you like to pray and ask the Lord to send us some rain? And he screams, God, send us thunder. God, send us thunder. Thunder. And
that's
so it actually began to rain. And so, but it only lasted. It only lasted a few minutes. But we had our umbrellas and we went walking in the rain. But I always remember that whenever it rained, God, send us thunder. So
that's
anyway.
Funny.
But I really appreciate you ladies being guests on the show tonight. And now I'm about to read a chapter from the Bible here. And I thought I'd read from Ephesians chapter 4. And I wonder if you ladies would like to stay on with me, and maybe I could have one of you say a quick prayer and invite anyone who's listening to receive Jesus as Savior. Would one of you like to do that? We'll only have a few minutes. So I'm going to read now, and I'll ask, dear Lord, please help us understand your Holy Scriptures and apply them appropriately to our daily lives now. And we have about 7 minutes left, seven or eight. And so I'm going to read here now from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the honor of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeding have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and the renewed, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in truth, righteousness, and holiness. Putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to that, excuse me, that he may have something to give whom has to whom has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart good to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, giving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And now with about 2 minutes left, would you like to invite whoever's interested to receive Christ as Savior?
Yes, I would like to make this known. Those of you who are considering homeschooling, it is not easy. It is very difficult. It's probably, in my opinion, you really cannot do a good job unless you surrender yourself to the Lord mm-hmm. and allow him to teach through you.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an impossible job, just as parenting is extremely difficult. And if it wasn't for the fact that God has given our children, I think we would give up a long time ago. So if you are in a position where you really want to be successful in raising your children, I really strongly suggest that you take the time now to ask the Lord to come into your life and to surrender everything to him and trust him in all that you do, and especially in this decision as to whether you're going to homeschool or not.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
Just
thank you. 30 seconds left now.
So you can pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I need you desperately to come into my life, take over my life, and help me, Lord, to follow you all the days of my life. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Perfect. Thank you, Sydney. Thank you, and good night. God bless you.